In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Behold, the Lamb of God, says John. Where have we heard that line before? We heard it this morning in our Gloria, Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It's a phrase made familiar by our repeated use many weeks of the year at the altar as our fraction anthem, something that we sing or say before we break the host, the body of Christ, as it was broken on the cross. We break the host because that's what you do with bread in order to share it, and sharing it was Jesus' command at the Last Supper. An alternative fraction that we use during some seasons, like today, is a line from Paul, where we declare Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The Passover lamb to which this refers is the same one that John was talking about when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Passover is the central story of the Hebrew Bible, the ultimate story of God's redemption of God's people. It is the story to which all the other stories refer, the event to which all God's promises harken back. Now, the Passover, you may recall, was that final event that brought freedom to God's people, the Israelites. The Israelites were living in Egypt. They were immigrants and foreigners. They were looked down upon, given the jobs that most Egyptians didn't care to do. They were the laborers engaged in the dirty work of brick making and the sweaty work of building cities under the African sun. And yet, bizarrely, the dominant class, the Egyptians, were afraid of them. They were afraid of these people who looked different from them, who ate different foods from them, who spoke a different language from them. The Egyptians made the Israelites live in their own ghettos, apart. These people who didn't seem to assimilate adequately, who stubbornly insisted on holding on to their own culture, their own customs, their own ways of knowing God. And so the Egyptians treated their guests badly and abused them, until finally the Israelites called out to God. God answered them in the person of his servant Moses and in the plagues, finally striking down many of the Egyptians but sparing the Israelites, whose door frames were marked with the blood of the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God. Now, Jesus was not immediately recognized by others as special or carrying out the work of God. Even his cousin John wasn't sure. Twice John says he didn't know who Jesus was. He said, "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So John was already attuned to God's prompting, to seeing the Holy Spirit remaining on Jesus. And when John saw that, he knew what it meant. And this enabled him to tell all his followers, who were maybe a little less astute, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John the Baptizer told his followers that Jesus was the central figure in what God was doing. This was a new idea. It turns out that what God did for the Israelites when they were slaves back in Egypt was only a foretaste of a much bigger project that God is about. John characterized his own ministry as simply one of preparing the way so that Jesus might be revealed. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not sins, as if God was concerned with all the little errors that God's people made. Sin, meaning separation, alienation, condemnation, fear. God did not put on human flesh to live and die as one of us in order to accomplish something small. God was concerned about sin not like traffic tickets, right? Not like petty theft, but sin. Like the distortion of human nature against which Martin Luther King Jr. spent his life's energies. Humankind in the time of Jesus and humankind still today is habitually enslaved in dehumanizing ideas and activities that alienate us from God, from each other, and from ourselves. And so the project of God is to remove those fetters that we are still all too given to denying even exist. Behold the Lamb of God. The church is a training ground, preparing us to behold the Lamb of God. In our rites and our rituals, we practice training ourselves to recognize Christ. We receive the Eucharist, and on some days, all we may think we're getting is a little bit of cracker and a little sip of wine. But on other days, we understand maybe a glimmer, maybe a hint of the underlying truth that in this bread and in this wine, we encounter the risen Lord and we incorporate Him into our own being. Sustenance. So the question of the treatment of strangers and immigrants and the judgment for those who despise them is a big deal throughout the Bible. We will not be free until we cease to hold ourselves apart from our neighbors, denying our common humanity and equal worth and dignity. Tomorrow is a national day of remembrance for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King was a friend to every American because he recognized that Jim Crow and institutional racism not only made life difficult or impossible for people of color, but such a system also warped and distorted the image of God in their white oppressors as well. When anyone is considered less than fully human, unimportant, second class, disregarded, disreputable, to be feared, when anyone is considered less than fully human, everyone becomes less than fully human. And less than fully human means out of touch with God, who after all created humankind in God's own image. So the mission of the church is to heal that gaping wound that we bear so that, as our collect today puts it, we may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that He may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. The church prepares us not only to behold the Lamb of God, but to shine out, to make known, to proclaim God's goodness. Like a dedicated football fan crowing about their team's recent victory. Or like a proud new grandparent gushing about their beautiful grandbaby. Our growing connection to Jesus prepares us to speak in real and authentic ways to those around us about the nearness of the kingdom of God and the dignity of every human being. Because the Lamb of God was sacrificed for us, we too can learn to hear Jesus' invitation, "Come and see." It is a gentle invitation. It's not a demand. It's not a list of things to accomplish. It's not five impossible things to believe before breakfast. It's an invitation to show up, to watch, to listen, to discover what it is that Jesus is speaking into your life. Behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen.